Welcome to the Viking Horn, official podcast of the Nottingham Vikings Ball Hockey Club. You can find out more about our club on our website and on all social media. For YouTube channel viewers, you'll see the links on screen. Anyway, let's sound the Viking Horn. Welcome to another episode of the Viking Horn. We've got the usual clan with me, Mike, Benny and Dan. As you'll be able to see on YouTube, we've got Benny and Dan on the same screen. Now, obviously understanding all the social distancing and rules that are in place, I think it's only right that Dan and Benny explain the situation there as well as they can, just so we can cover our arses. Over to you, Dan.
Basically, in a nutshell, my friend here, young Benny, has taken part in the first ever residential fitness program offered by the Generate Academy, during which time he's then been chucked out of his house and now a formal residence.
what timing is it? So it's all fell into place. Benny, we did talk about this whole fitness regime before, so it's all sort of fell into place quite well for you there.
Yeah, it's felt pretty well. I mean, I threw down the gauntlet to Dan a few weeks back now, saying I think you need to put your money where your mouth is, and if you're as good as you say you are, you can turn my body into something that people would envy.
He's lost 4 stone this week.
Has he?
It's only Monday evening. Well.
Oh well, yeah. Well done, Benny.
I've had Dan knocking on my door, waking me up every morning.
This morning, I pretended that there was a traffic warden outside just to get him out of bed.
Or a leaf blower.
Tomorrow, I'm going to stand outside his door with a chainsaw.
And it's going well. It's going well, I take it.
Yeah, it's going really well. Dan's managed to get me running. Running some decent distances that I've never run before.
To the kitchen and back.
got me joining in the Zoom sessions every night. Mm-hmm. So it's been a case of when I get home from work, it's been get in, right, get your weights vest on, join in. There's been no excuses. So it's been pretty good so far.
Well, you say every night, Benny, but I didn't see you on the session that me and Harry took tonight. What's going on there?
Yeah, I threw the gauntlet down to Dan. I'm not going for the second-rate coaches.
Oh, well, we'll leave that there then. Harry will be deeply offended, I tell you. But yeah, good sessions tonight as well. It was everyone was sweating like crazy afterwards. So I feel like you missed out there, Benny. But we'll take your word for it. Well done, though, and well done to Dan and Libby as well for taking you in. What a big commitment that is.
Perseverance is key.
It is, understandably so. Yeah. Right. On our last podcast, we asked Mike a few questions and. One of the questions I asked him was his favourite memory in ball hockey so far. He gave us that, and it gave me a bit of an idea. I wanted to hear our favourite, our best and worst moments in hockey. Benny as a coach, Mike as a player. I'll give mine if anyone cares. And also, I wanted to speak to Dan about his in judo as well, because obviously, Olympic athlete in judo, I'm sure he's had some good and bad memories. Mike, recap on your memory that you gave us before on a positive note. What was your best memory as a ball hockey player so far?
Did I mention my Achilles?
More than once, I think. Yeah. Let's ban that word.
I mentioned my best last time, so I'll go with my worst. I think it was Benny put me on as a forward, and I don't know if it was one of the first times I played, but we were playing Hull, I think, and I just remember taking the ball in behind the goal, their goal, and I was looking back up to see if there was an outlet pass. And as I was just stood there, some fella just came racing around behind me, barged me off the ball and just ran off with it. And to be honest, I think about it now about how pissed off and embarrassed I felt, and thought of, well, obviously I wouldn't want to let it happen now, but that for me, with only a handful of games, is my memory of, like, my worst memory of just getting sort of pushed off the ball without any, you know, problem at all. So it's not a big deal.
Never mind. Well, you did it back to front. I was asking for your best memory, but there we go. You've covered it all now. What was your best?
It irritates.
Out of interest.
What was my best?
Yeah, I'll just repeat what your best memory was.
It was playing the Fantastic Fours, and it was I think it was Hull again, and it was getting an assist where I dispossessed someone sort of halfway line, putting a pass to Walter, and then he scored. So it was a nice way to finish the game.
Cool. And what would you want to achieve going forward in Borlock in next season? What would be a good season for you going forward?
Plenty of time playing.
Just you're hearing that, Benny?
No. I you didn't hear the last word, which was justified, because obviously I want to play because the coach wants me to play. But like, obviously more court time, and clearly I want to score. But I know as a D-man, that's not going to be like top of my agenda. Those two combinations, really. Score a goal and, you know, plenty more time, and actually play like I know what I'm doing.
Brilliant. Benny, I'm going to come to you now as a coach. As having played under your coaching for a few years now, there's been a lot of ups and downs. Let's go positive first. What's your best memory as a ball hockey coach so far?
I'd say
it doesn't have to be the Vikings, by the way.
Okay, that's fine. I'd say my best memory is going unbeaten last season, well, season before now, and actually managing to coach a team through playoffs by not conceding a goal against two very good other teams. So that was quite good. I know we got an 8-0 and a 4-0 result out of those. So going to the playoffs and getting to that sort of scoreline. And that was only 3 or 4 days after I fractured my orbital floor. So I managed to coach.
Here we go again. We're banning the Achilles, man. He brings his eyesight into it now.
Yeah.
It could be worse, couldn't it, Dan?
Of course, always be worse. He's having a puff at me.
So yeah, that was obviously, you know, brought a positive into a negative situation there. Would the problem of the orbital bone be up there in your worst memories as a coach?
No, I'd say
your Achilles
was when I was training earlier. And I might have snapped my Achilles as I was playing with you, Pete.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what your words were? Your words were when this was training, right? Me and Benny were at the side. I was not took too much part in this training session. I think I might have even come straight from Generate session on a Friday night. And we were in the corner, and I was like, right, I'm getting involved. Benny turned around to me and goes, right, we're gonna go on together, and we're gonna kill it, right? We both ran on together. Benny gets past the ball. He passes it somewhere else. He goes on a run. And next thing you know, thud. He's on the floor, crying, right? And his Achilles is gone. It get carried off the lot. And that was training session over. I never even got to hit a ball in anger with my stick in that training session. And it was all because of him.
Selfish.
Well, the coach runs the session.
But he was really good whilst he did play.
He was. I mean, his movement was second to none. I've got to be honest. He was in the right position. And as soon as he got that, but if he got that pass before his Achilles went on him, I was setting myself up for a nice pass along the blue line for a shot, but it just never came because he was there rolling around the floor in agony.
It was the best 8 seconds I've ever observed.
sounds like my missus. I've heard that before.
Oh, Yeah, but so, yeah, good. Yeah, so that's your best and worst, Benny.
Yeah, what about you, Pete? What's your best moment?
My best moment has got to be probably first season when we won the playoffs as the Reapers combination there, Benny. So we're going to play for the Reapers. It was our first season, wasn't it? South Notts Reapers. And we started off slowly that year, got to the playoffs. In the playoffs, the teams we beat were outstanding. So we beat the top two Arnold sides in the semi-finals and the final. And the feeling for that was we knew who they were. You know, we didn't give them too much respect. We respected who they were, didn't give them too much respect. But I think to win that playoff trophy, for me, has got to be my standout moment in ball hockey, just based on the teams that we beat to get there at the time. We were like a fearless new team. You know, no one knew too much about us individually and as a team. And it was just a really good feeling. Don't get it wrong. I've had a lot of good moments in ball hockey. You know, there's scoring the first goal against Richard Bennett. That was a great moment, you know, against a great Britain goalie. And I've scored other big goals. But as I focus on a team performance and, you know, captain Vikings to playoff and league victory. But that moment there was, that was a great moment. It's something I've always remembered. And that I'll put that as my top moment.
Did you notice? I had to keep talking about all the other goals they scored as well.
I know, yeah.
That's something Pete likes to do.
Not the other goal. No, yeah, but the thing is, all my goals are absolute good, brilliant goals. I'm not going to lie, you know, there's no such thing as a tap-in. So it could have been any one of those, to be honest, but no, I've gone for team. I've gone for team, not individual.
Yeah, that was his worst moment when he was forced to.
But my worst moment, my worst moment was I've scored... There's a game where I scored two own goals. I scored two own goals in a game. Not on purpose, obviously. I was in exactly the same position. It was against Nottingham Hawks. I was in exactly the same position. The ball sort of shot in, cannoned off my stick on both occasions, and going to the net. That was pretty embarrassing, to be honest. But I quickly got over it because I actually I got the ball in my own half, dribbled around everyone, ping top corner, passed Rob Pacey, scored the winning goal. So I was quickly over it. But it was at the time it was a terrible moment or moments I should say. But other than that, I've not really. They were probably the worst moments. Yeah, I've not. I mean, I've lost the cup final before, but you know that it was a good game.
Is that because you didn't score, Pete?
I didn't score then. It wasn't my job necessarily. I'm focused on defence, but what Benny will probably tell you is my attacking prowess has improved significantly over the years. But back then, it was no nosebleed time if I went over the halfway line, I think. But yeah, that's changed a little bit now. But it's always nice scoring goals. I've got to admit, I love scoring a goal. One of the best feelings in the world. But yeah, scoring own goals ain't the best. That's it for me, isn't it? So, Dan, I'm going to come to you from a judo perspective. Olympian.
It's hard with judo. It's hard to pick a sort of best and worst moment because it's quite an emotional thing, really. I suppose, like, you know, stereotypically, I'd pick the best moment would be walking out in front of a home crowd at London 2012. But I feel like the sort of like the best moments are yet to come. I know that sounds really cheesy, but I've not really had one of them moments yet where I've gone, there you go, stamp. But like there's an abundance of worst moments from, you know, things like, you know, defeats to like, you know, actual emotional issues as such, like, you know, when, I don't know. It's like it's really hard to put your finger on. Yeah, there's I remember one of the most recent ones, I suppose, at the World Champs last year. I was fighting in the bronze match to a lad who's won the games before, and I literally had him done. I had a strangle on. I knew it was close. He was close to tapping. And, like, you know, at this point, like, when you start strangling someone and they're close to tapping, they start making this strange noise. Let me just show you on Benny. And I'll hurt him. He'll probably rupture his Achilles or something.
yeah, most likely, yeah. Always orbital bone.
That's it. Yeah, we got the lot. And like, you know, I've got this. I've won. I've won my first world medal. And then he just slipped out of it. And I knew he was tied up. And then I got up in the next exchange, he dumped me. And I was just like, what? Like, as if. And that's probably like one of the worst moments, because it was just so close, sort of thing. But yeah, it's better times to come, I think.
I do think that's a good answer, because obviously you've got, fingers crossed, you've got your Olympics next year. Obviously, I hope for that and everything leading up to that. And I think we can only hope that you've got better things to come, and sure, the hard work you put in, you'll get there and you'll deserve everything you get out of it, mate. So that, I did like that answer. More good stuff to come. That's good. So, Benny, what have you been foffing at the mouth about this week?
Oh, it's been a while since I've come on. And the thing that's really got me frothing at the mouth this week is people that just interrupt you all the time. That's you, mate.
Oh, I was right. You're just carrying on.
Who was he waiting for then?
Seamless.
So, all
I've got one. Right, I think this is one that's quite close to home, actually. Is people, and one of us four here are actually I've committed this crime of an early erection for Christmas. Now, I think there's a lot of people out there who do suffer with early erections around this time of year. And Pete, you're one of them, aren't you?
Well, I am. I'm no shame in saying yesterday we erected our Christmas tree. or Christmas trees, I should say. So, you know what? right? I tell you what, you come down my street, I tell you what, it's like Lapland already. And I've already put this back 2 weeks. My wife asked me originally a couple of weeks ago about putting this up and getting a new tree putting it up. And I just thought, you know, and during the times that we've got, that we've been in this year, why not, you know, why not? It makes people happy. Not you, obviously, but no. I mean, I figured that out when I had a phone call yesterday, asking me what I was doing, all that jazz, and then told you about that, and then I was basically pretty much hung up on, to be honest, in disgust. But you know,
hang on, right? It's November the 22nd at this point.
Third.
Yesterday when we
had. Right. Okay.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Christmas police are in. And you're sat there on erecting your tree four and a half weeks before Christmas Day. Like, in my opinion, like, it's like, you know, round about the sort of 10th to the 15th, tree can go up. 26th, the bastard's down. It's got to go. You know.
You're not alone though, Pete, because...
Hang on. No, you're... Hang on. What?
I've got to come clean. My wife was actually the reason...
Hang on. Why is everyone blaming their wives?
Well, she was the reason for my early erection. when was it? About a week ago?
Oh, so he's worse.
Oh.
Yeah, what I'll say is, as again, I'll say, I, in my defence, if there is any, I put this back. I must have put this back at least a week because I was being asked about it a week, maybe 2 weeks ago. And I just thought, right, okay, this week we'll definitely do it. Luckily, everyone around us has done exactly the same thing. You know, not that it's a competition, but, you know, I just thought it's been a tough year for many people. And if I can help out by decorating my house in some Christmas paraphernalia, then why not? It did make me feel better as well, to be fair. I'm not that I'm sad or anything or depressed or anything like that, but it's quite nice to look at, and I don't have any regrets, I've got to be honest. It's been a good job. Spent a good couple of hours on it.
Well, I went out for 2 hours. I went out training or something because I'm good like that. And I came back and it was all done. Vicky put the tree up and all the decorations and everything. So I didn't even have a hand in it.
You didn't even have a hand in your early erection.
It was a no hand.
The erection was all me in our household. The erection was all me. But
there's nothing there. And then Mike's up.
I left everything else to my wife.
Oh, it's terrible. This. Move on.
Is there anything else? Nothing else you're bothered about that's bothered you this week?
Oh, I could have done about 10 this week, I think. I'm just having Benny round, there's another one. I'll tell you what, really, being my bonnet, visitors who stay too long
and end up living with you.
He's got his own bloody stocking on the fireplace. Oh, wait, no,
he
does.
Yeah. Oh,
the deck, he's up. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to say, let that one tell you. At least that's one job you get him to do before he leaves.
Tinsel free. We're done.
Oh, okay. Well, that was entertaining, wasn't it? But anyway, I tell you what, there's something that's actually put a bee in my bonnet recently. And it's sport-related, obviously. Lewis Hamilton. Oh. Obviously, we're going to talk Lewis Hamilton here. I know you're not his biggest fan, Dan. But it come out in the press. He won his seventh world title recently, right? Brilliant, I think. Ronnie O'Sullivan came out in the press and said the following. It is fantastic for Lewis to win 7 world titles, but if your car is going around quicker, you can afford to make a few mistakes and still get away with it. It's a bit like driving around smoking a cigar with one finger on the wheel. I wouldn't have felt as good about my career in snooker if I had been playing on a table where the pockets I was using were bigger than my opponents. Mike, your thoughts?
Or a guy.
I don't agree with the cigar sentiment, but I agree with the last bit about playing on like a level playing field, same size pockets, because when it comes down to it, I think Hamilton's a talented driver and he's definitely, you know, a genius at what he does, but it's helped and aided by the car that he's using. I mean, I don't watch it, but isn't it a fact that this season the car he's driving is like streets ahead to mixed metaphor?
Okay, so who would you credit that to?
All the engineers and the drive, the you know, the crew.
Yeah,
but it's a team.
So, okay. Dan and Benny, or one at a time. What do you reckon? What Lewis Hamilton?
I'll take this one.
Go on.
I think he's a really good driver. I feel as obviously the engineers have done a great job in this process as well, but they built a car to suit his driving style. Now, if the other constructors can't keep up in developing new technology, then of course he's going to win. And the different size pockets thing that Ronnie said, then it's true. But they've made it in such a way that it's meant to be competitive. It ain't going to be let's all stick each other in the same car.
I agree. No, I agree. Go for it, Dan.
They need to figure out a way. This is a question for you three to have a little think of. I'm going to tell you my opinion. How could you make Formula One more competitive or more interesting? Because I think how it could work is like some level of draft at the end of the year. So the next year, Lewis Hamilton wins the league, wins whatever. They've standardized the cars to some level. Now the next year, Lewis Hamilton then goes to the worst car, you know, and see what he can do from there. And it all gets like sort of mixed up in that way. So everyone gets a different car, different feel, whatever. Because there was, I don't know if you remember, is it Nigel Mansell?
Yeah.
He got banned from, who was he working for? Williams, was it at one point? Because he turned around and he got a slap on the wrist. He turned around and said, like, because it was showing, you know, one of the Formula One cars, this is years ago now, one of the Formula One cars on the, you know, on the blocks, and it was showing like the way the suspension's already programmed to sort of dip and go. And he turned around and went, well, you know, even a monkey can drive that, you know, and he got it for it. But it was showing how the technology behind these cars are literally, you know, I could bloody get in one of them. I can't drive. I could get in one of them and just, you know, press X and get me way round like I'm on Gran Turismo. But they do need to find a way of trying to, you know, make it a bit more interesting. Because I think in winning 7 world titles, all right, well done. But come on, it's kind of showing that. It's like, you know, if some Russian geese win 7 Olympics in a row at weightlifting, you're going to start asking questions like, you know, come on, guy.
You know, yeah, I think, 100%. I think with Formula One, I think one of the biggest problems you've got, I would say, is the money. You look at a team like Williams now, who used to be at the very top of the sport, they're now at the very back of the grid. And, you know, you get these teams coming in that might last 2 or 3 years, then they're back out again. I think Haas have struggled financially. So I'm just going to go on to my point on it, and it sort of echoes what Benny said. I'm glad Benny said what he said. So if I repeat something you've said as well, which I will do, apologies, but I need to make it. Okay, so like Benny said, Lewis Hamilton, I believe, is the best driver on the grid. I do genuinely believe that. They're all world-class drivers. That's why they're in Formula One. But you go back, the driver of the car is the end of the production line, so to speak. Everyone back at the factories, as we've already said, contributes to making that car the best it can be. And Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes can't apologize. It shouldn't have to apologize to anyone for being dominant in the sport. It's up to everyone else to catch up with them, which is basically what Benny said, which is great. I firmly believe that. What really annoys me about the whole thing is people like Ronnie O'Sullivan coming in, and it's just like, well, how much do you know about this sort of thing to really comment on it? Like, I think what he said about the level playing field and the holes being bigger is not really, because you could say the same in football, couldn't you? You could say, well, you know, Liverpool, Man City, Man United, Chelsea, they all have the most money, so they shouldn't really celebrate when they win the league because they've got the most money. They spent the most money on the players, so why bother celebrating? You get your freak seasons where someone like Leicester will win the league. You know, when those teams don't perform, someone will come in and take advantage. When Lewis Hamilton didn't perform over a season, Nico Rosberg won the title. Same team. But I think the point we're trying to make, so mine and Benny's argument on the case, is everyone else needs to work harder catching up. Not, you know, Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton ain't going to turn around and say, well, you know what, let's go back to the factory and, you know what, lads and ladies, take a bit off, you know, don't want to go so fast next year, just to give everyone else a chance.
Yeah, I think...
And one more thing, sorry, Mike. And you got people coming in slating Lewis Hamilton because he does this or he does that, you know.
I don't think
Great Britain will wait years for a world champion at a sport. We did the same with Andy Murray.
Yeah.
And then he wins world championship or he wins Wimbledon or wins a major. And all you do is slate him because of, oh, he's a bit miserable in front of the camera, or, oh, he wanted this taken off the shelves, this watch taken off the shelves. What an idiot. I don't care what he does outside of the racetrack. He's British, world champion. You know, I'm going to support him on the track. What he does outside of that, I don't really care. Right. Mike, what are you going to say?
Well, off the back of that, I mean, the last comment, I mean, I think that's a lot down to the British press. I mean, that's just what we seem to
do. It's all over Facebook, though. Like, all I see over Facebook is people slating Hamilton.
They seem to be driving these stories. I mean, you know, the sort of stuff that's in the Daily Mail, probably. But what I was going to say is, I'm not going to defend Ronnie because I think some of what he comes out with is absolute tripe. I think he is positioned to comment on other sports people because he is an elite sportsman and he's a genius in his field. And I suppose that does give him the right to comment on a genius in another field. And to your point about it's up to the other constructors to step up, if they're never going to have the money that the top constructors have got, are they ever going to be in a position to compete? Ever.
Well, that's where we come to what Dan was talking about with how do we get a level playing field with these sort of things. And I had a discussion with a friend earlier on, and you know, I don't know if any of you follow MotoGP, but Marc Marquez won the title a few years in a row. I don't know the number, 4 or 5 years in a row recently. We see people complaining about that. You've got the same problem, and again, Honda had the best bike at the time, and in Formula One, it's probably the most financially gifted. There's the most money in Formula One. It's one of the richest sports going. How do you spread the money out over all the teams, and that would be the fairest way to do it. And you know, you've got Renault provide engines for McLaren and Mercedes provide engines for other teams and things like that. So they are sort of helping each other out in a sense, but it's like one team's getting the knockoff engine from the other team, and because there you've got one team providing the drivers for Red Bull, and then Red Bull can send a driver back down to, well, I mean, Toro Rosso. It used to be, I don't know if it still is, but I don't know. You're never going to take the money out of Formula One. It's how you distribute it. And I do agree, it does need... Are you finding out the very best driver? Because, again, just sticking up for Hamilton, you've got to be a good driver to get that car around. You're driving around 200 miles an hour, you know. So one year he made a mistake, too many mistakes during that season, Rosberg came and took the title away from him. And undeservedly so. When he makes a mistake in a race now, Verstappen or Swan will come for a win. But it's a tough one. And it's just something that annoyed me. Like, you know, my main point is the guy who won a title, is I think it's been confirmed he's going to be knighted in 2021 today. So, and it's only so, you know, the guy's won 7 titles. The history book's going to say he's won 7. He might win more going forward. How long he's... But is a legend, and I just don't like people taking jabs at their achievements. Can't be taken away from that. But I don't care what they're like outside of the sport. They can do what they want for me. End of. But yeah, moving on. Yeah, I think I got a bit too much motor racing there for certain individuals. I never had you down as a racing fan, Dan. But you I enjoyed your contribution there. It was a good point you made.
You know what? I've always quite liked sort of races and stuff like that, to be honest with you.
Just yeah.
Don't like Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, fair play. Fair play. No, but it was a good point. And yeah, we'll move on. We've all raised good points on that one. So, Dan, with the news of the lockdown being lifted, looks like gyms are going to be open again for Generate. I just wanted to talk about that, really, and how that's going to affect the gym. And also, just talking about how well these online sessions have been going.
Yeah, so, well, on that point then, to start with, online stuff has gone surprisingly really well. I've never done it before. I've never really been a fan of it. However, you know, you get backed into a corner, you offer what you can do. We've offered that. It's worked out really well. We've had extremely good engagement. Because what we've done is, which is a kind of have prided ourselves on the Generate team on, is the fact that really trying to push interaction with people. So it's not just the one size fits all, right, get up and go, follow me sort of attitude. It's more of a, how are you doing? What do you want to do? You know, it's more of a sort of, you know, listen to the people sort of thing. And yeah, we've had some really good fun doing it. Hopefully next week we'll be in a position where we're going to open the doors again in some sort of capacity. So yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to getting back in the gym. Really looking forward to, you know, getting that sort of personal touch back with everyone and all our members and sort of moving forward. And come January, hitting it hard. All them people who've overdone it on Christmas who need their January push, ready to go with them as well. So, so yeah, all good.
Will you be keeping close tabs on Benny's progress over Christmas? This is a big time coming for him.
Yeah, yeah, well, the thing is, I'm going to lock him in his room just over Christmas because I don't want to see him on Christmas Day. but, you know, I might throw him a turkey leg or something. And
I've got my own chimney in there, haven't I? So Santa might come visit me separately.
Yeah, he won't. But, yeah, he's not real. Neither's Pete's tree. And it's just... slowly draining the grid. And electricity, that is, and it's a waste of money, and also also it'll probably, you know, 18 people die each year from fires caused by Christmas trees. So there you go, it's catching up coronavirus death, that is.
Yeah, yeah. Best to monitor your likes and everything on your Christmas trees. We did a good thorough check before we put it up. Yeah.
Check your lights, people. Keep safe.
Brilliant, excellent stuff. Just to finish up, going back onto ice hockey. Okay, what do you all think of the throwback designs that have been released this last week?
No.
The reverse retro jerseys. Oh my God, he's got a Calgary top on. Look, I wonder how I was going to take this.
What were we saying? What did you say about throwback?
So, that is a nice top.
It's good, isn't it, what £9 can buy you off eBay?
It is. Oh, wow.
I have to admit,
so the new reverse retro, that's a good little, yeah.
You know what? We didn't even know this section was coming and this turned up in the post today. Wham, bam, thank you, man.
Yes, there you go. It's worked out well for us all. But yeah, so the reverse retro jerseys that every NHL team will be wearing next season were released this past week. I have to say, the Calgary one is up there with my favourites.
Yeah.
It's very nice. I've got to admit, strongly recommend it. Benny and Mike, let's say, not too impressed by your team's efforts. Look more like training jerseys, I would say, especially Detroit.
I mean, the problem with the Leafs one is I don't know how many different designs of a leaf you can do.
Mate, I agree. Yeah, there's loads of different leaves, though.
Yeah. Like, how many different maple leaf leaves can there be? Like,
maybe they should have just changed it up to like maple syrup and put a jar of that on or something.
What, with a bear on the front or something like that? Yeah, I think we could design our own.
Yeah.
I was thinking what they could have done is had one, the big maple leaf, like have it like really big on the front instead of like just in the middle.
They could have just put the TML, the Toronto Maple Leafs, like that old school logo instead. Get rid of the leaf. That currently, put the TML across the front or something like that.
That stands for too many leaves.
it probably does. As Canadian rivals there. Yeah, looking forward to the next season.
I've not seen the Detroit one, though.
The Detroit one is pretty plain.
What's that? What?
Yeah, it's not good.
Detroit Bears.
Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, Red Wings. I thought they were the
Great Red Wings. Yeah, it's like a training jersey sort of thing. Yeah, it's very plain.
They put silver bars on the arms, and I think that's supposed to be to denote like a trophy or something. But they would have been better putting red. I think red bars on there. Someone photoshopped it; it looked better. It just, yeah, it's not good, is it?
No, it wasn't the best. There's a lot of nice jerseys there. Do you know what sometimes happens though? You sometimes see a jersey and you think, oh, not a big fan of that. But then when you see it on ice being worn, it can grow on you. I mean, I'm glad that they brought the Wild Wing jersey. The Ducks brought the Wild Wing jersey back for next season. That was one that I've been trying to get from a vintage point of view for a little while now, with little look. But they brought that back. They've released on the 1st of December. First, or I think it's the 6th, actually, not the 1st. I don't know why I'm thinking the 1st. But early December, they're released. And I will be doing everything I can to get that jersey. Same comment said for you two, probably.
That is a nice logo on your jersey.
I just like it. It's just different, isn't it? It's got the Wild Wing jumping out of the ice. And like I say, it was a jersey they wore in the 90s. And it was one that I've been trying to get my hands off on for ages from like a vintage shop or online. It quite a lot of money, but yeah, the Ducks one, the Calgary one, I really like the Capitals jersey. That's really nice, and there's one or two others as well. But I'm looking forward to seeing them jerseys on the ice, definitely.
What about the Panthers Christmas ones? Have you seen those?
I have seen those. Yeah. Just about to bring up Panthers, actually. I like them. You know, how do we get hold of them, Mike?
They're just a draw at the moment, but they're going to make them available in the shop next whenever they are.
Okay. I did like that. That's the one with the like the city skyline on. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to look into that. That's a nice jersey. I did like that. But yeah, I do like a good jersey, and you know, the somewhat different, and I think that's what Panthers have gone with. And I noticed another team did the same thing, didn't they, in the Elite League?
What, someone previously?
Was it Cardiff? They brought out a jersey with the skyline.
Yeah, skyline. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I like it. I do like it. But yeah, if we've got anyone else, any other business before we finish the podcast?
No,
we're all good.
Nothing good from the Powell Tring household.
No, where's he gone? Oh, there he is. He's back. But yeah, guys, look, it's been a good laugh this episode. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for joining us. We're recording on a Monday night. It's difficult. We've had long days. Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Benny. And thanks to Dan. We will be back with another episode of the Viking Horn podcast very, very soon. Thanks for listening. Listen on YouTube, Spotify, whatever you want. And yeah, we'll see you all very soon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.